Reading from Srimad Bhagavata, Canto 3, Chapter 14, Chapter entitled Pregnancy of Diti in the Evening, Text Number 17. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O afflicted one, I shall forthwith gratify whatever desire is dear to you, for what else but you is the source of three perfections of liberation. Translation responsively. O afflicted one, I shall forthwith gratify whatever desire is dear to you.
I shall forthwith gratify whatever desire is dear to you.
For who else but you?
What else but you?
Is the source of the three perfections.
Is the source of the three perfections.
Of liberation.
Of liberation.
Purport. The three perfections of liberation are religiosity, economic development, and sense gratification. For a conditioned soul, the wife is considered to be the source of liberation because she offers her service to the husband for his ultimate liberation. Conditional material existence is based on sense gratification. And if someone has the good fortune to get a good wife, he is helped by the wife in all respects. If one is disturbed in his conditional life, he becomes more and more entangled in material contamination. A faithful wife is supposed to cooperate with her husband in fulfilling all material desires so that he can then become comfortable and execute spiritual activities for the perfection of life. If, however, the husband is progressive in spiritual advancement, the wife undoubtedly shares in his activities. And thus, both the wife and the husband profit in spiritual perfection. It is essential, therefore, that girls, as well as boys, be trained to discharge spiritual duties so that at the time of cooperation, both will be benefited. The training of a boy is brahmacharya, and the training of the girl is chastity. A faithful wife and spiritually trained brahmachari are a good combination for advancement of the human mission. Amagyan timalandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshur nalitanjena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manopishtam stapitam jena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam tadati swapatantikam pancha kalpata rubyascha kripa sindhu bi evacha Kaditunam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasa Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare
Hare Rama
Hare Rama Hare Hare is a famous part of the Bhagavatam, and it's the appearance leading to the appearance of Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Those two brothers, it's described in this canto, Canto 3, these two brothers were previously Jai and Vijay, and they took birth four times actually as Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, as Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Shishupal, Dandabhakra, and then in the Channa avatar, in the hidden incarnation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they came again as Jagai and Madhai. And then they were fully liberated back to their original position, or even higher, possibly. So this shows progressively that there is no incarnation more merciful than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because even Krishna liberated Shishupal and Dantavakra. But Shishupal and Dantavakra did not get what Jagai and Madhai got. They did not get the same benediction. So therefore, there is no incarnation more magnanimous than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we are the most fortunate because Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj says that when you enter into the kingdom of a king, then you should chant the glories of that king whose kingdom you're residing in. So just like you come to Australia and you chant the glories of the Leader, Tony Abbott. Oh, it's changed, has it? Yeah, I know. Change. It changes every 6 months they put in someone new. There's the defect, actually, of Western civilization. Prabhupada said, the disease of the Westerners is they always change everything. Prabhupada said that. And these days you can say it's the disease of the whole world. You know, Indians are the same now. Change everything. Prabhupada said, do not change. Do not change. I was explaining this last night to the devotees in the Bhaktivedanta course, that if you look at the Bhagavatam, the first canto is blue, second canto is brown, third canto is bluish, fourth canto is greenish, fifth canto is blackish, sixth canto is brownish. Prabhupada said, do not change those colours. He said, because you Westerners, every time you print it, you'll change it and make it different. He said, do not. He said, this is the disease of the Western world. Everything has to be changed. But it's a disease in the material world these days. Prabhupada said, do not change. This is the Vedic culture. Vedic culture means things are timeless. The details will change according to time, place, and circumstance, but you do not change the principles. These things must stay intact. So, of all of the incarnations of God, the most merciful is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj says that when you enter into the kingdom of a king, you chant the glories of that person. And he said, when you're in the yuga of the particular avatar, then you chant the glories of the yuga avatar. So he said, in this age, you chant the names Nitai Gauranga, Nitai Gauranga, Nitai Gauranga, because we're in Kali Yuga. So these names need to be emphasized above and beyond all other names, because these names have the most potency, and these names will give you the most benefit. Prabhupada explains this in Chaitanya Charitamrita. You chant the Hare Krishna mantra, then offenses are considered. But when you chant the Sri Panchatattva Maha Mantra, then offenses are not considered. In other words, it doesn't mean you can do anything and you'll get away with it, but it means it is more merciful. And we need extra mercy in this age because we're less qualified. Right? And there are some devotees, before they chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, 16 rounds or 32 rounds or 64 rounds, first they chant one round of Sri Panchatattva Maha Mantra. And many devotees, they chant three times in between each round. But the point is, Prabhupada says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, before you chant the Hare Krishna Mantra, you must chant for a period of time the Panchatattva Mantra. Before I chant my rounds, I don't chant, I used to, like when I joined, I used to chant in between each round Panchatattva Mantra. Now I don't. Now I just chant through. And many devotees say to do that as well. They say just, you know, keep it continuous. Once you're going in the Maha Mantra, just keep flowing with it. Others say, no, you must chant. So, you know, you will follow your guru or whatever your proclivity is or desire. But before you chant the Maha Mantra, you must chant the Panchatattva Mantra. I chant it for as long as it takes me to get absorbed in it. I chant the Panchatattva Mantra. Sometimes I must chant it, you know, 8 times, 15 times, sometimes, I don't know, 30 times. You know, if I'm connecting with the mantra, if my consciousness is entering the mantra, then I begin to chant the Maha Mantra, the Hare Krishna Mantra. So the point is that before you approach Radha and Krishna, Prabhupada says, when you chant the Hare Krishna Mantra, the Radha and Krishna dancing on your tongue, Prabhupada said, do not forget that. Hands up if you do not forget that. You don't forget. That's good. So when you chant, then you should be remembering Radha and Krishna are present. They are actually there when you are chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So Prabhupada explains to us that before we chant the Hare Krishna Mantra, you must chant the Panchatattva Mantra, because the Panchatattva Mantra is the names of Gauranga. And in this age, you should worship him. So in this pastime that we're hearing about the appearance, the first time, of Jaya and Vijaya in the material world. Right? And who do they take birth as? Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu. These were the two biggest demons in history. In the Ramayana, there's some pastime where Ravan was the most powerful demon at his time. Actually, he wasn't the most powerful. He got defeated by Kartavir Arjuna. Yeah, even Yamaraj defeated Ravan one time. So he wasn't the most, but he was super powerful, very, very powerful. So one time, they said to him, Narada Muni said, "You were more powerful than your previous birth." And Ravana said, "How is it possible? How could I be more powerful previously?" He said, "No, come with me." So they took him, and then they showed him one hill, which was made of gold. And he said, "That was your earring in your previous birth." But when he was Hiranyakashipu, he was much bigger and much more powerful. Because in Satya Yuga, you're most powerful. And then Treta Yuga, you lose your potency. Dwapara Yuga, you lose it. Kali Yuga, you have no potency. It's all gone. You look at Kali Yuga, people are weak. You see, generation by generation, people are becoming weaker. You look at the previous generation, they're much more stronger than us. You see, its generation. You look at Jagannath Balabhaprabhu. How old is he? 69, yeah. So it's 2015. He was born in 46. Right, 46. So then he's 69 in a few months. His birthday's around now, actually. His birthday's 46. Yeah. So he's 69, around about now, 69. And you look at him, he's stronger than all the brahmacharis. Oh, my back. All the brahmacharis, I can't carry the buckets up the stairs at Crossways. Ooh, we need to get an elevator. So weak. When we used to do Crossways, you know, we used to grab, you know, those big containers. They still take the big ones in? Yeah, we used to two brahmacharis grab them. Just even now I can do it. You know, what's the problem? And all the brahmacharis, oh, my back. I'll get sore. Oh, my finger's sore today. I can't do it. Oh, I'm feeling mental today. I can't do my service. Everyone's useless. Kali Yuga, everyone's useless. Useless. You know, Jagannath Balabhu, the guy's 70 years old. He's still picking things up, moving them around, doing things. He says to me all the time, he says, "I don't know what these young guys do." Right. Every time he goes to India, it takes six people to do his service. This is what the previous generation was like. Strong. I knew one old man, because back in the old days, they didn't have like so much machinery and things like that. One man, he was a farmer, and when his tractor broke down, he pushed his tractor onto the back of the truck with his hands. Just got the tractor pushing on the truck. He wasn't a big guy. He was just so strong. You just push it up like that. But these now in Kali Yuga, everything degenerates, and you see the next generation coming after us, they're even weaker. You see all the kids these days, they're just on this little, you know, like that. They've got no potency. Everything is stripped from you. Actually, when you sit in front of a computer or you use any electronic device, it's like the radiation is actually sucking your prana from your body. And you see, people who spend too much time in front of computers, they quite often get weak in their constitution. They lose their potency, their tejas. So you have to be very careful of the modern age, the modern lifestyle. The modern lifestyle is too sedentary. What is your job? Your job is 8 hours a day, you just go like... It's like, you know, you're just using a couple of limbs like that, and then you have no strength in your body. So... as the yugas go down, then everyone becomes less and less potent. So these first two demons, they were called Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. Now, why were they born the way they were born? It's interesting if you look at this. Because in the seventh canto, Hiranyakashipu also has a child. And who was his child? Sri Prahlad. So why is Prahlad a devotee? How does a demon give birth to a devotee? And how does a devotee, Kashyapa as a devotee, gives birth to a demon? This is scientific. Prabhupada explains this. This is called Garbhadhan Samskara. So what happened to Hiranyakashipu? Right? His brother was killed. Who killed his brother? Right? Varaha killed his brother. So he was angry. So he said, now I will go to the forest, I'll do tapasya, I'll become strong, and then I'll come back, I'll find Vishnu, and I'll kill him. That was his consciousness. So he went to the forest, he did austerity, and then Narada and who was the other one? Was it Parvat Muni? There's two sages. Narada and I think it was Parvat. There's two. Who does he always associate with? Parvat? Yeah. So I think it was Narada and Parvat. So they took forms of sparrows. And Hiranyakashipu was in the forest under the trees and he was doing intense meditation to become potent to defeat Vishnu. So then Narada and Parvat, they came as sparrows and they sat above him on the branch and they started chanting, Narayana, 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 the name of God. So then his consciousness became disturbed and he thought, who is chanting the name of my enemy? So he saw the bird, get out of here, like this. So he went back into his meditation and then they came back, Narayana, 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 there's his consciousness, three times. And by the end, he was so disturbed that all he could think about was Narayan. So he got out of his meditation. He couldn't keep doing his meditation, his tapasya. So he went back to the palace, back to his home. And he said, everyone, Mahotsava, festival. Everyone enjoy yourselves. Drink. Enjoy with the women. Right? Big festival. Music, dance. Everyone. So they had a big festival. He's trying to forget Narayan. But he could not forget. So at the end of the night, he took his favorite wife, took her into the bedchamber to have sex with her. Right? And then when they were there, all he's thinking in his mind, Narayana, 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 like this. So he's Krishna conscious, God conscious. So then he conceives a child. Who's the child? Prahlad, the devotee. Because at the time of conception, then the consciousness was correct. It was pratikul. It means that he wasn't favorable towards Narayana, but still he was Krishna conscious. And actually, the acharyas explain that when you're envious of someone or you're angry towards someone, you think about them more than when you love them. Right? So Kamsa, who was envious towards Krishna, fearful towards Krishna, or Shishupala was envious. Kamsa was fearful. Right? But they were so absorbed in Krishna that Narada Muni says, I wish I was like them. I wish I had that level of absorption, always thinking. The way Shishupala was thinking of Krishna all the time. You know the pastime when Shishupal was killed by Krishna? Krishna gave the benediction, I will forgive him 100 times. So then, they were in the Rajasura sacrifice of Yudhishthira. So Yudhishthira was doing the sacrifice, and Shishupal, they went to offer Krishna the first oblation, to worship Krishna. But out of all the assembled personalities, Krishna was the first to be respected. Vishnu was there. Right? Even Lord Vishnu descended. Brahma descended. Shiva descended. All the great sages were there. All the demigods were there. Right? And Krishna at that time was a king on earth. So, the whole universe was there practically. And out of everyone, Yudhishthira said, first, we will offer respect to Krishna. Right? And then Shishupala became extremely disturbed. He stood up in front of everyone. Right? And he said, why him? What is special about him? We don't even know if he's a Kshatriya or a Vaishya. He doesn't even follow Dharma. Right? We know all the stories from when Krishna was sitting and Krishna said, I'll forgive him 100 times. So Krishna had a mala with, like counting beads. You know when you chant your rounds and you go like one round, two rounds. So Krishna is just sitting at the mala. One, two, three, 96, 97, 98. Right? And then, while that was happening, the devotees were very disturbed. Someone's blaspheming Krishna. The devotees are very disturbed. But everyone was composed, because everyone thought, no, we'll let Krishna deal with it. But one person could not control himself. What was his name? Vrigoda. His name is Bhima. He could not control himself. Right? He was ready to get up and he was going to take his club and just smash Shishupal. But he was sitting next to grandfather Bhishma. Now how strong was Bhima, saying? How many? 80,000 elephants. He's as strong as 80,000 elephants. And that's literal. That doesn't mean, you know, literally as strong as 80,000 elephants. Most powerful man on the earth. And he's sitting there next to Bhishma. And Bhishma, because they were sitting there, like, with their hands on their, resting on their chairs. And Bhishma was sitting next to him. And Bhishma had one hand on Bhima's hand. And Bhima was trying to get up. And Bhishma was just sitting there. And Bhishma just said, just shanti, shanti. He said, Krishna will take care of this, don't worry. And Bhima could not control himself. But Bhishma said, and just held him there. Right? That's how powerful Bhishma was. Bhishma, because when Shantanu, the father of Bhishma, when he did austerity to get Bhishma, as his son, he actually performed that austerity in Vrindavan, at one van. What's the name of the van? I think it's in Madhuvan. So he was in that particular vana in Vrindavan, and he performed austerity, and he said, I want a son as powerful as Lord Balaram. So he got a son who was practically as powerful. Bhishma was practically as powerful as Balaram. That's how powerful he was. Yeah. No one could defeat him on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. No one could defeat him. He was so powerful. So, Shishupal, he was offering too much blasphemy to Krishna. Then finally, when he got to 100, Krishna said, okay, that's enough. Yeah, I've given you... Prabhupada said this, actually. He said that if you fall down or if you make some mistake in Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada said, I will forgive you the first time. I'll forgive you the second time. But the third time, then you're on your own. If you're going to just keep falling down, keep falling down, okay, go. Do your own thing. So Krishna's very merciful. He'll forgive you 100 times. But after that, okay, come on. You can't just keep. Shishupal, he was so absorbed in Krishna. And then Krishna took the chakra. He said, chakra. And the chakra manifested. Right? And the chakra just went, just decapitated his head, right, in the sacrificial arena. And then they saw the soul of Shishupal merged into the Brahma Jyoti, into Krishna's effulgence. And then he took his next birth as Jagai and Madhai, the two of them, Dantavakra and Shishupal. So, the point is, this is scientific. The Bhagavatam is saying, whatever you think, yam yam, vapi, smaram, bhavam, whatever you meditate on, you will attain that. So at the time of birth, it is, how do you say it? It is scientific, is what the Bhagavatam is saying. What is your consciousness at the time of conception? That is called Garbhadhan Samskara. Whatever you meditate on, because Hiranyakashipu has a devotee, and Kashyapa has a demon. It is an important pastime, Prabhupada is pointing out. The Bhagavatam is teaching us. And these pastimes, keep going all the way up to the 10th canto. At the moment, we're studying the 9th canto in our Bhaktivedanta course, and this same theme comes up again and again and again in the 9th canto. If you want to go back to Krishna, you have to give up lust, karma esha, krodha esha, rajaguna. Sumud Bhava. What is the predominant mode of material nature in this material world? Huh? What is the most prominent? Is it Sattvagun, Rajagun, or Tamagun? Yeah, it's Rajagun. Right? Everyone's in Rajagun. Right? So Rajagun breeds lust. And when your lust is unsatisfied, you become angry. Therefore, anger is known as Kama Nuj. Because someone who is lusty, they will be angry very soon. You see, if people are angry all the time, it means their desires are frustrated. That's why people become angry. So you want to do an anger management course? Hands up if you have a anger management issue. Okay, a few of you are honest. That's good. Very good. Honesty. You can't get back to Krishna until you're honest. That's a good point. And especially if you're honest in front of an assembly, that's a very good quality to have. So, how do you manage your anger? Then you have to purify your desires. You'll only become angry because Rupa Goswami says you have to control the urges, the vegans. Right? So he lists six things, right? Tongue, belly, genitals, mind, right? speech, and anger. Right? So you have to get a control on anger. How do you control anger? Right? You have to purify your desires. Because if you're always desiring something other than Krishna service, you will become frustrated. If your only desire is to serve Krishna, you will not become frustrated because there is unlimited potential. You can always serve Krishna. And you'll always get reciprocation from Krishna. But if you want to enjoy separately from Krishna, you'll become angry, you'll become frustrated. So you have to purify your desires, you have to change your desires, and then you can control your anger. So it says here that, what is the girl's name? Aditi? Who is approaching Kashyapa? Aditi or Aditi? Aditi. Aditi. Who is approaching her? Aditi. Okay, it says here, Kashyapa, it says here. Does it say Aditi? Is it Aditi or Aditi? It says Aditi? Okay, so it's definitely Aditi? It's not Aditi. Okay, so Aditi. Aditi approached?
Kashyapa.
Okay. But when did she approach? Wrong time? Wrong place? And the mood was wrong. It's scientific. Right? So the Bhagavatam is showing us, the Vedic literatures give you very clear examples to make it easy for you to understand, because we are dull-brained. And that's why the Puranas are more potent than the Vedas themselves, than the Upanishads. The Puranas are more powerful. Jiva Goswami explains this. That the Puranas give you examples which are very clear, because the universe needs clear instruction. Because most people, most of us aren't even going to remember what we heard today. Yeah, we hear today's class, tomorrow we won't even remember. Who gave class yesterday? It's like, or even better, who gave class today? It's like, you go for breakfast, who gave class today? What did they say? So we just forget everything. So the Puranas make it very easy, they give you very clear examples. So it's very clear that she approached at the wrong time. So if you approach the husband or approach the wife, right, the husband approaches the wife, or the wife approaches the husband in the wrong mood, then you will get the wrong result. So it's very simple, it's scientific. So therefore, it is recommended that we do Garbhadhan Samskara. What's a Samskara? Samskara means an impression on the consciousness. Right? And there are 10 Vedic Samskaras in your life. The first one is actually the Garbhadhan. So it's even before you turn up. Right? There's one there, a Garbhadhan Samskara. So Prabhupada said in ISKCON, what is the Garbhadhan Samskara? What should we do? 50 rounds, yeah. You have to chant 50 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Right? And then you'll get purified. Right? And then your consciousness will be thinking of Krishna. So at the time of conception, you are thinking of Krishna. Actually, in Ayurveda, I was actually listening recently to Vasant Lad, who's one of the top Ayurvedic practitioners in India. And he was saying that in the Ayurveda, it actually recommends at the time of conception, you should be looking at a picture of Krishna. Have a picture of Krishna there at the time of conception and chanting the names of Krishna. That's actually the system. And then, if your consciousness is pure, you will attract even in Ayurveda it says this, what to speak of the bhakti shastras. So this is the way to conceive a child. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Prabhupada said 50 rounds, Bhakti Vinod Thakur said, the night that you conceive, you should invite the Vaishnavas to your home and you should have a home program. And everyone should dance and chant and discuss Krishna Katha and have prasad. And then when the devotees leave and everything is purified, then the husband and wife should unite and then try to conceive a child. So that is the system. The system is you will get the result based upon your activities. That's Krishna consciousness. If you want a certain activity, what is your goal in Krishna consciousness? Mucha Kunda Prabhu, my dear friend. What is your goal in Krishna consciousness? Your name is not Muchakunda. Who said that? Nonsense. What is your name? Yeah, so what is your... Yeah, become Krishna conscious. Develop love for Krishna. That's our goal. That's what we want. So if you want to get that, right, if you want to get your goal, which is to become Krishna conscious, right, if you want to get your goal, which is to develop love of God, then you have to act and behave in a particular way to get to that goal. It doesn't happen automatically. Same as conceiving a child. If you want a result, you have to meditate, what type of child do I want? Right? Just like I was just up in Mwollumba last week, and I saw my friend Devagora Hari, Prabhu, and he has a three-year-old kid whose name is Sadhu Seva. And this kid's far out. Right? He's like a little demigod. Yeah, he looks like a demigod. Looks like one. He runs up. Like, he didn't even know me. He just runs up and just charges at me. And I'm sitting there having the features and just jumps into my chest. Ah, I will destroy you. So I picked him up, you know, put him on my lap and said, I am Nisringadev. And then he looks at me, this kid's 3 years old. How old are the girls?
Four.
Okay, so even a little bit younger, right? And he says to me, a three-year-old kid, and the kid's like, has divine consciousness, he goes, Nisringadev never attacks his devotees. He's a farak. And then I said, you're not a devotee, you're Hiranyakashipu. And he said, I am not Kashipu. I said, yes, you are. And I went, ah, I started ripping him apart, you know, and he goes, and the kid was just so, and I could see, because this particular devotee, Devagora Hari, he's got five kids, right? And his kids are like very exalted in consciousness, because he's obviously conceiving them in the proper consciousness. It's very evident that when you do things properly, you get the result. And that's what it's like in Krishna consciousness. Everything we do, if you do it properly, if you apply yourself properly to the process, you will get the result. So if you, and what is the main anga of our bhakti? It is chanting the holy name. And what is the main anga? What the one thing that we promise at the time of initiation is that we will chant 16 rounds a day. Now, if you chant 16 rounds a day, you have to do it in a particular way to get the result. And you see, many devotees, they don't chant very good japa. If you look at your japa, you know, devotees chanting on the clicker, clicker japa, and devotees chant when they're driving, and devotees chanting when they're putting the washing in the washing machine, and devotees chanting when they're reading the notice board out here. I see all the time devotees sitting there like reading the notice board or reading the deity roster. So you're not chanting. That's not chanting. It's not attentive chanting. If you don't chant attentively, you won't get the result. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada's guru, he was very conservative. You know, that we should not jump to higher things too quickly. And Prabhupada was also very conservative, that we should not try to jump to high things very quickly. In 1976, I think it was, in Los Angeles, some devotees started the Gopi Bhav Club. No? You remember this? You probably read if you read the Leelamrita. So after breakfast, we have Bhagavatam class in the morning, then after breakfast, just a certain amount of devotees, they would go into the temple room and they would read Krishna's pastime with the gopis from Krishna book and like that. Just gopis. Right? And they were calling it Gopi Bhav Club. Not all the devotees, just some were doing. So then Prabhupada was in Los Angeles, and then after breakfast he could hear through the walls, there's some devotees in the temple room having a class, just discussing like this. And Prabhupada said, I think to Tamal Krishna Maharaj or one of the devotees, he said, what is that? Now, what are they doing? And they said, oh, this is Gopi Bhav Club, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, you know, imagine Prabhupada. You know, I mean, can you imagine upsetting Prabhupada? Prabhupada said, he said, they are not qualified. They are not qualified. You have to become qualified. That is our goal. That is the prayojan, no doubt. That's the goal. Yeah, look at the books that Prabhupada gave us. Bhakti, Rasamrita, Sindhu. After you get to page 150, and you go into the southern side of the ocean, it takes off. Right? Everything is the higher rasas. Right? Then Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's the most esoteric scripture on the planet, practically. And then the Bhagavatam itself is the most esoteric scripture on the planet. And the 10th canto is the summum bonum of all the pastimes. But you have to become qualified. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was very cautious. Do not go to these things prematurely. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that after 15 or 20 years of being a devotee, you should naturally take an interest in these things. He said that. It means if you're applying the process properly, you should be becoming purified in your heart and you should be developing a desire to understand your eternal relationship with Krishna. And if that desire is not coming, that means you're not applying the process properly. What do you think you're going to do eternally? You know, you think you're going to roll up in the spiritual world with an orange beanie? Then get back to the spirit, Goloka Vrindavan. I'm a brahmachari. I wear glasses and an orange beanie. Because we become so attached to our upadhi, right, or our identity in this world. You know, brahmachari, I remember as a brahmachari, you really get into being a brahmachari. Right? No, I'm a brahmachari. Brahmachari. Just locked in, I'm brahmachari. You know, I went through phases, I wouldn't even look at the brahmacharini's faces. You know, I'd just look at their feet. They'd be talking to me, I'd just be looking at their feet. Yes, Mataji? Okay, like that. Yeah. A little strange. I mean, you can do that. You can avoid eye contact, although, but you still have to be normal. And you actually see the devotees who are normal and natural, they're progressing. You should not become eccentric. Because when people practice celibacy in Kali Yuga, they become eccentric quite often. You see, devotees that try to do too much austerity, they become eccentric in nature. You see, many brahmacharis, they sometimes, like Sindhra, they become like eccentric and socially misfitting. It should not be like that. A good example that comes to mind is Braj Krishna Prabhu. He's just a normal person. But he's a brahmachari. He actually practices brahmacharya. He actually practices celibacy. And he actually lives a life of restraint, which is not easy, in association with the opposite sex. But when he does associate with it, it's quite natural. And that's a good example. That's how it should be. You know, if you're this, like, you know, strange, eccentric personality, that means there's something going wrong with the brain. It means you're too much identifying with your upadhi, your bodily identification. So the goal of Krishna consciousness is to understand your eternal swarupa in Krishna's service. So if you apply the process properly, that will come, that will manifest in your consciousness. Prabhupada says in the science of self-realization, God consciousness or Krishna consciousness and self-realization, they happen simultaneously. In other words, when you realize Krishna, you also realize who you are. And when you realize who you are, you realize who Krishna is. Right? Hands up if you understand who you are in Krishna's pastimes. No one wants to understand? Okay. Well, that was a waste of time me giving class then. Of course, that should be your innermost desire in your heart. When you're chanting the holy name, this will take time, but you should understand the goal, the prayojana. When you're chanting the holy name, your innermost desire should be that I'm trying to understand who I am in Krishna's pastimes. Okay. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur say, if you've been doing that for 15 or 20 years, following this sadhana bhakti process, that should be coming in your consciousness. And if that's not, then you have to look at yourself carefully. So it's scientific, that's the point. What does Prabhupada call the nectar of devotion? It says nectar of devotion, and then underneath, what does it say? Has anyone ever read the book? Right? It says, Nectar of Devotion, it says, the science of Bhakti Yoga. Right? It's a scientific process. Right? It's a science. And science means that if you apply it perfectly and properly, you will get the result. So what's being spoken of in the Bhagavatam here is that if you want a child, and if you want a Krishna-conscious child, then you have to apply the process properly. If you want to go back to Godhead and understand your eternal relationship with Krishna, you have to apply the process properly. It doesn't happen automatically. Okay. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there are any questions or comments on what we have discussed. Yes, sir. It means
crash.
You know when you chant the Hare Krishna mantra, right? Because we've all been chanting for a number of years. So you know when you're absorbed in the holy name, right? You know the feeling you get when you're absorbed in the holy name, right? So Panchatattva mantra is the same thing. I mean, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there's one book, there's Bhajan Rahasya, but there's another one, a small book. Naam Hatha, is it called Naam Hatha? There's a very, very small book that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote. Is it called Naam Hatha? I think it's called Naam Hatha, but there's a very small book that he wrote. And basically he's saying, and this is our philosophy, is that the process of realizing Krishna, the whole point of this movement is to realize Krishna. It's the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So the process of realizing Krishna is through Naam, Rupa, Guna, Leela. Right? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that when you chant the holy name, up to the point of Nishta, because we go from Shraddha, Sadhusanga, Bhajana, Kriya, Anatta, Nivritti, Nishta, Bhava. Sorry, Nishta, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, Prema. So when you get to the platform of Nishta, he says, when you chant the name Krishna, the form or the rupa of Krishna manifests in your consciousness. So what does it mean when you chant the Panchatattva mantra, you're absorbed in it? Sri Krishna Chaitanya, in your mind you see. You know, we've seen so many pictures of the Panchatattva. We see the deities of the Panchatattva. So you see Sri Krishna Chaitanya, you see Prabhu Nityananda, Advaita, Gadadhar, Srivas. And from their form, you begin to meditate on their qualities. Each one has a particular personality. They have particular attributes which you meditate on. And when you become advanced, then you can meditate on their pastime, their leela. So when you chant the Panchatattva mantra, that's what you should be absorbing yourself in, the personality. Because quite often we just chant mechanically, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Vedi Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Govinda Hare 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 Krishna Krishna Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna. It's like, see, some devotees chanting, I don't even know what's going on. You know, you look at, my Guru Maharaj said one time, he said, if you want to know how advanced the devotee is, just look at the way they chant japa. You know, you see someone like Radhanaswami when he chants, it's just like, you know, chanting in the temple with Radhanaswami before, he's just chanting, he's just absorbed. It's just like, or, you can just do your mechanical, devotees chanting, and the mind's obviously not really there. Or sometimes you see devotees chanting japa and they're just like, looking at everything and anything. I mean, the worst place to chant your japa is practically is out there in the courtyard. You know, if you want to chant attentive rounds, you know, you pretty much see when a devotee's sitting on the bench, it means they're not really chanting. They're just waiting for someone to turn up to talk to them. I never chant my rounds in the courtyard. I haven't chanted my rounds in the courtyard for about 20 years or something. If I chant, I chant here in front of, the deities. Or I go to Prabhupada's room. Or you can chant outside, but, find a nice place, and then lock yourself in and, chant. And do it without distraction. And in the Harinam Chintamani it says, if you want to overcome the anatta of, or the defect of distraction, then chant in a solitary place. Or it means in the morning when all the men are chanting the japa or the women are chanting upstairs, then chant, that's a solitary place. It means there's not really distraction around, and absorb yourself in the holy name. So, does that answer? Okay. Any other questions? You have to live a life and follow a diet, particularly which are in sattva gun. Most of the devotees, because a lot of the devotees, even the young devotees, they have health problems. And most of it is related to diet. And quite often the diet we have in the temple is not always the best diet for us. It's too rich. If you eat rich food, Prabhupada said if you work hard, you can digest rocks. So most devotees don't work that physically hard that they can digest. So you can eat rich food, but then you've got to work hard and digest that food. So most of the time we're not doing that. So therefore you have to eat in sattva gun. So something's like halava. What mode of material nature is halava in as a food? No. It's sattva gun because you can say it's sugar and grains and fruits, which are sattva. But when they're mixed in that combination, right, there's definitely a strong rajasic influence. So if you eat a lot of halava, you'll get rajasic like that. And you will, if you eat too much of it, you'll become tamasic. So therefore, I'm not looking at that. But Prabhupada's formula, it's interesting. Prabhupada's formula was we're allowed to have a feast once a week. That was Prabhupada's formula. That's what the Sunday feast was for. Right? So, you know, you can just eat whatever you want, satisfy your senses, and the rest of the week you eat quite simply. But here, like in this temple in particular, this temple is world famous. Right? You know, it's like the Sunday feast is about 7 times a day. And that's how devotees eat. And it's interesting, Prabhupada came to Sydney, I think it was 72, and the devotees for lunch, back in those days, devotees would go out on Harinam all morning, come back, have lunch, and then go out on Harinam again all afternoon. And when they came back for lunch, they were having like a big pot of halava. You know, other things, but big halava. And Prabhupada said, no. When Prabhupada came and he saw that, he said, no. He said, once a week you can eat this. Not every day. He said, Prabhupada said, the formula for ISKCON is rice, dal, chapati, sabji. Like that simple prasad. And if you eat it, then your body will be healthy, and then you will have less problems and you can digest it, you can do your service. But even when Prabhupada left, he said, no, however, they kept doing it. Does that answer your question? Any other question? Comment?
What is the guarantee that the Garbhudham, the process will bring this Krishna consciousness child? Because a lot of, I've seen this in this Sydney also, a lot of senior devotees, son and daughter, they are not Krishna consciousness. So, assuming that they have a Garbhudham.
It just means the child has free will, that's all. I mean, you conceive the child properly, right? That's Garbhudham samskara. It means you've given yourself a head start. But then once the child comes out, the child has to go, you know, into this society, this modern materialistic society, and make his own choices. So you can only train the child and encourage the child. But, you know, I see the best devotees, some of their children just go off and do all sorts of things. And then you see other devotees, they're not strict, and their children become very strict. So the jiva has individual free will and choice. But you just want to have the best start or the best, how do you call it? Just give yourself the best opportunity. Make it less complicated for yourself. But then it's up to the children what they want to do. You can't tell the children. Even in this congregation, I see some of the kids, you know, they're kind of... But what happens is the parents panic. Right? Because the child gets to teenage years and he goes off and starts doing... Like one devotee told me a few weeks back, he said, because his son's about 15, he's a devotee in this congregation, his son's about 15, he said, he wants to watch Batman. I said, what's the problem? I said, I've seen it. It's a good movie. It's a good movie. And sometimes I watch movies with my niece and nephew. I go up to their house and they're watching some movies. I've seen Batman. It's a good movie. And what's the problem? You know, it's not like at night I'm like, you know, now I'm Batman. You know, or my consciousness, you know, I come to the temple and it's like, you know, I want to be Batman. So what's the big deal? You watch Batman and that's it. Okay, if you're a new devotee, maybe you don't do these things because you need to become fixed up. But, you know, when you become more progressive in Krishna consciousness, you know, like I'll watch a movie with my niece and nephew and it's like, it's not a big deal. They're like, it's not like the next day I'm chatting with Japa and I'm thinking, wow, you know. I wish I could, like, you know, have a Batmobile. So, you don't think like that. Just, you know, just a bit of entertainment. So, you know, the parents, they panic. Because when they get to teenage years, they want to, they got material desire, just let them go. We all did it. You know, I did it all. You know, between the age of 15 and 19, when I became a devotee, I did illicit sex, intoxication, not really gambling, a little bit of gambling, not really seriously, and I ate meat, right? And then I was over it by the time I was 19 and I became a devotee. So quite often you see the kids, you know, when they get to teenage years, they get, you know, bewildered as we did, right? Because their senses are strong, right? And the opposite sex is everywhere, and it's like, you know, the world. But then, you know, see, they all come back. They all come back to Krishna consciousness. So don't panic.
So here in this case, it means the Hiranyaksha, his training was not proper.
What's that?
When this nurtured this, when he was young, his parents didn't give him this Krishna consciousness. That is the problem. He became this.
Those two boys?
Yes.
Those two boys were demons. So their parents were perfect, but they stopped listening to the parents very quickly. They went away from home and they weren't listening to the parents. That was the problem. They were too powerful, these two. And they became when you get material opulence, you become bewildered by it. Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam, Krishna says in the Gita. So when you have opulence, you become bewildered by it. And then you want to enjoy separately from Krishna. Even when your parents are telling you, don't do this, don't do that. But then you think, oh, I can enjoy. So you go off. So they weren't listening to the parents. They were demons by nature. The point is, the Bhagavatam says, do garbhadan samskara. Give yourself the best opportunity. But there's no guarantee what's going to happen anyway. So, okay. Best idea is to give up grihastha life altogether and go back to Godhead. That's actually what the Bhagavatam is teaching us. You know, the goal of life is not to have kids. Right? Kids is in the mode of passion. Rajagun. Krishna says in the Gita, pleasure in the mode of passion, it starts off nectarian and it ends in distress. Just like it's school holidays at the moment. So my daughter went away for 1 week. Right? So after 1 week, you know, my wife's saying, oh, I just want her back, you know. It's like, I haven't seen her for a week. And then she comes back, and after 10 minutes, my wife is saying, oh, I wish she was still. Yeah, that's mode of passion. You know, you want to enjoy, but then there's not really enjoyment. In the material world, there's not really enjoyment. It's just hard work and frustration. Material world key. Okay. Any other question? Comment? Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki? Yeah.